Should we just pray for you before you?
Yeah, thank you.
Lord, we lift Rob before you now. We thank you for the word you've put on his heart for us. And we ask God that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Simon. Thank you for leading this morning for those songs. It's really sort of positioned us well now to come before God's word, to read from his word. Now, I feel like it's been a bit of a ping pong sort of situation with preparing for the sermon today. I had a very clear idea the first time I read the passage that we're going to be looking at. I thought, God is telling me about persistence today. It's all about persistence. And I was quite excited about this because I know about persistence. Sandy and I have been married for 32 years now. And when I'm sure I mentioned this before, but when I married Sandy, I married her because I loved her. I loved her for who she was, who she is. I didn't need her to change. What I saw was perfect. But Sandy married me and saw a project. She saw that there was work to be done. And somewhere, at some point, there might be the person that she wanted to have as a husband. And for 32 years, this has been a project for her. Every time that I think that I'm somewhere close approaching being who she wants me to be, doing that various something else new around the house, and going through all these, you know, different things of learning about how to be a husband, no, I'm not quite there. There's something else that I haven't done. And to be fair, it's shown to me that persistence does work. You know, I do now know that there is a way of putting things into the dishwasher. I do now know that there is a particular way that you have to fold clothes. And I believe there are probably more things that I'm going to learn in the coming years. And maybe one day I'll get there. But persistence is something I know about. And persistence is one of those things that as Christians, we learn to sort of know that is really important. I'm reminded of the story of an evangelist who'd been out all day, knocking on doors, wanting to share with people about God. And he is perhaps feeling rather weary. And he gets to perhaps one of the last places he's going to be for the day. And what he does is he knocks on the door. And sure enough, this woman opens it, sees him there with a Bible in his hand, and she says, "Go away, I'm not interested." And she shuts the door, and it springs back open, and she says, "Get your foot out of the door." And she shut. And he says, "But madam," and she shuts the door again, springs back open, and he says, and she says, "Look, I've told you once, get your foot out of my door." And he says, but madam, door slams again, springs back open. She said, "If I have to tell you once more, I'm going to come after you." And so he decides this is the time to sort of hasten to retreat back down the garden. And as he does, he says to her, "But madam, the door's not going to shut while your cat's in the way." His persistence may have saved the cat. So there was me thinking, this is about persistence. And God said to me, yes, there's an element of persistence in it, but there's something else. There's something else that's in there. It's more than about persistence. So I wrestled with it. I looked into it. I looked into it a bit more. And you know, God has this marvelous way of sort of being persistent with us when we might not get the full picture of what he's trying to say to us. So let's have a look at the passage. I'm going to actually go from Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. and lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I don't know about you, but we're naturally all drawn to the first few verses of Luke chapter 11. We know verses 4 and 5, the Lord's Prayer, off by heart. This might be because of family prayers when we were young. Might be because of Sunday school, school assemblies, or even the occasional recital in the church service. We all know the template for prayer that was handed out by Jesus. They all asked to be taught how to pray, so he gives them the components for prayer. But then Jesus feels the need to expand beyond this. It's not merely enough to tick off the various components, sort of do them by rote every week. Prayer goes deeper than that, and it must be undertaken with resilience, persistence, but ultimately, with a confidence in the one to whom we're praying to. Jesus was the ultimate storyteller. I love books where I'm transported into the middle of that story. I might be a description of the area, the people, the sights, the sounds, the smells. They can be so well encapsulated in the text that I'm always almost there, watching the story unfold. I was listening to a podcast the other day between two of my favourite songwriters. One of them, a guy by the name of Adam Duritz. And he was sharing about how he likes to build the story in the song. It's not enough to talk about the girl that he loves or the girl that has sort of encapsulated, has sort of had this effect on him. He wants to talk about where he is, if he's in the coffee shop. It's about, is the sun coming through the windows? Is it the smell of the coffee that's there as well? Suddenly he's building that picture and suddenly I'm alongside him in that song. Suddenly I'm getting something of what he means in it. Jesus sets a scenario in this story. Effectively, he's placing the disciples in the middle of the story. In this particular case, he's saying to them, these are the circumstances. So I'm going to pose you a question. What's the question? And he says, suppose one of you has a friend. He's basically saying, which of you can imagine the following scenario? Which of you can imagine this? Put yourself in this picture. You have a friend. Can you imagine having a friend going to him at midnight, asking him for bread, and him saying, no, go away, I haven't got anything. And he's saying, has anyone seen this scenario play out in their life? Anybody sort of had that happen to them? Now, if I was going to throw that scenario out to you today, who would confirm Yes, they'd imagine the scenario. And we'd imagine someone saying, no, go away. Or would we all be very virtuous and righteous, saying, no, no, of course not. We'd open the door, welcome them in. I'm going to play out this scenario now for myself. Okay? The door rings. The doorbell rings at midnight at my house. Now, I can tell you that I'm one of these people who I don't like to be awake after 9 in the evening. I'll be honest with you. I'll be up at 5 in the morning, but no, I'm not an evening person. So, I'm pretty much fast asleep at midnight, and the doorbell rings. Sandy and I both wake up because the doorbell's rung. Now, we're very fortunate in the last year. We've got one of those doorbells where you've got an app that can actually show a video and show who's there. Because I don't want to go to the door in case, I mean, who would actually come to you at midnight? So I'm thinking I'd rather check first before I go down there. So Sandy and I are checking on our phones and on this video. And I see at my door a friend of mine, Matt, let's say it's Matt. Matt Clark is there at the door with his lovely usual smile. And it's midnight. And Sandy looks at me and she says, it's Matt. And I said, it's Matt. I say, well, go down and see. And she, no, I'm not going down. He's your friend. Wow, he's not my friend at midnight. And we're having this discussion about it. And then we're thinking, oh, maybe something is really seriously a problem with Matt. Matt really needs to see us. He's a friend. He wouldn't ordinarily come to us at midnight. So we go down, open the door. Matt, you okay? Yeah, have you got some bread? Sorry, Matt. Yeah, we've got friends coming. They're coming tomorrow. They said they'd be here for breakfast. And, you know, we're out of bread. Can you give us three loaves of bread? Sandy, he wants bread. Yes, yeah, there's a couple of loaves out in the freezer. And there's one in the thing. Yeah, just give them to him. Now, and, you know, I think begrudgingly, I would go and get them. I wouldn't have much conversation with him. I'd say, there you are. Goodbye, Matt. And I'd be thinking about a war of attrition. I'd be going round to his house at 2 o'clock the next night and ask him if he's got a trombone I could borrow or something. You know? I would be doing it begrudgingly. Because that's not, you know, let's be honest, it's the most inopportune time. To be fair, he would have had to come past Sainsbury's, which is open 24 hours, and could have picked some up there. I would not be doing it with a generous and a giving heart. We might well offer the bread, but would we do it willingly? And it tells us in the reading about the person there giving more than is needed. So perhaps what we say might be very different to what the disciples or those listening to the story would have said. This isn't the response that Jesus would have got from these listening to the story. They would have been all in unison. They would not understand that scenario at all. That story would be alien to them. In the Middle East, cultural dynamics were and are such that should anyone come to you, day or night, needing your help, it is the custom of the neighbour to show hospitality and hospitality over and above what people might expect. I remember Jacob being completely bowled over on his trips to the Philippines by the hospitality of the people. I still recall him being emotionally moved by the poverty in Manila. And he said about the children that came to the school, so full of joy and so full of thanks and wanting to do things and that for the young people that had gone over there. And yet he was humbled when he went to see where they lived by the rubbish dumps and how little they had, and yet they would go above and beyond their hospitality to the people who'd come to visit them. This changed his outlook on life. Eastern culture looks to provide hospitality when needed, and certainly not the bare minimum. They look to ensure that you have more than you need. And I recall being shown hospitality on a holiday many years ago, over and above what I could have expected. I learned to take small plates of food because inevitably it would be considered rude if I didn't take second offerings. I paced myself. Now, when we look at verses 7 and 8 of this story, it is easy to get drawn into believing that the passage is talking only about the boldness or the persistence of the man asking for the bread. But if we do so, I think if we do go along that route, I think we're missing a big point about it. The word persistence, boldness, or audacity wasn't used in this text until after the 3rd century. And this is arguably because the Greeks and the Romans struggled with this word persistence. They wouldn't have struggled with the word persistence. They would have struggled with the Hebrew word which had previously been used. It wasn't persistence. The word is translated from Hebrew. The word is an idea, which is shamelessness. And they would have struggled with this word. How, the context of shamelessness here, what does this mean? Shamelessness is about the opportunity to avoid shame at all costs. So how does this fit into our understanding of the scripture? Well, if we look at verses 7 and 8, it's clear that this section is referring to the friend who's been woken at midnight. Verse 7 is referring directly to him and the scenario of saying no. Jesus continues, let's have a look. Though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's shamelessness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. He's not talking about the man's shamelessness who's knocked on the door. He's talking about the man who's there at the door, the neighbour, the friend. The culture, the Middle Eastern culture, was that this friend would not want to suffer the shame of word getting out that he denied hospitality to his friend. It was a matter of avoidance of shame at all costs. This friend had turned up for bread. Now, the likelihood was that he was not going to do much with the bread. He needed more than bread. Bread was the accompaniment to the main meal. It was what people used to dip into the meal. They'd have this stew, this lovely great stew, and the bread would be soaking up the food. So the friend didn't just want bread. Bread was the accompaniment. It was the utensil to soak up the food. The friend didn't just want bread. They probably wanted carrots. They wanted vegetables. They wanted meat. In asking for bread, the neighbour realised more was needed. And such was the need to avoid shame at all costs, that man would have got up and given his friend as much as he needed, if not more. In some cultures, they say, if you are a guest, you are a guest of the whole village. And this friend wouldn't have wished to let the village down. If he was to say, go away, it's midnight, I'm tired, word would have got around. His response would have been considered totally alien with the cultural dynamics of the time. So given this sort of new thought, it's clear the focus of the parable, yes, it's reminding us of the fact that we shouldn't hold back in petitioning God with our needs and being persistent, seeking, knocking on the door. There's a far greater picture to spur us on in prayer. The parable's reminding us that Jesus is teaching us to pray and to be persistent because we have a God who loves our persistence. And when we cry out to him in prayer, but it is at the heart of God's nature to avoid shame at all costs. God's the neighbour in the parable. He's committed to providing for our needs, and to not provide is totally at odds with his very being. He is Yahweh. I am. He said, I will be your God. I'm here for you. I'm here with you. And to do anything else than meet the need of who is knocking on that door would not be bringing honour to his name. And you know, we see many examples within the Bible when people have called to God in prayer and reminded him of this. Moses, the audacity and the boldness of Moses, who says to him, "You say you're going to wipe out that nation, but they're the nation you love, and they're the nation, you know, that's just like an own goal to the enemy here, God. Bring honour to your name in this situation." And God relented. God is true to his word. He gives to his people that which would honour his name. So if we rewind a bit, we have the first few verses of the chapter providing the template, reminding us of what we should be praying about. But the second part is why we should proceed to prayer with boldness, with audacity. Our God will meet our needs that honour his name. Now, it's easy to go a skewed way with this parable and say, your first reading of it, say, basically, we can ask for anything. We can be persistent and we can knock on the door and God is going to answer our prayers. I am so looking forward to that Ferrari, to that jacuzzi, that holiday in the Maldives on the basis of this passage. But I don't think that's what it's about. Jesus has already given them the template for the prayer. And the template isn't saying, it's open season, guys, what do you want in this world? He's talked about what we should be praying about. And he's praying, you know, he says, give us each day our daily bread. Give us what we need. Give us our daily bread. It's not about what we want, but it's about what we need. It's praying for God's kingdom to come. It's praying for forgiveness of our sins. We're praying not to be led into temptation. We're asking for all those elements that are going to make us better witnesses and better people in our communities and in our lives for God. As we come to him with boldness in prayer, he's not going to withhold what is good for us. He's not going to hold back because he loves us. And you know, maybe, just maybe, the closer we come to God in prayer through coming with boldness about asking for those things in our lives, the less I will be like the picture of me earlier moaning about Matt turning up asking for bread at midnight. Maybe I might then embrace the culture of hospitality that goes above and beyond and actually starts meeting the needs around us. Now, I think sometimes we can all be very selfless. We're very selfless in prayer. If I say to you today, what do you want prayer for? You'll say, I want prayer for my friend at work who's suffering at the moment. I want my prayer in this situation. I want my prayer in that situation. You know, sometimes we've got to be praying about ourselves. We've got to be saying, actually, God, how am I going to get from here to here in my Christian life? How do I make a difference, Lord? How do I get more of you in my life? How do I do better this week? And this passage is about being persistent. It is about saying, here I am, God. Here I am. Here I am calling out to you. The words that song earlier, I call out to you again and again. God loves to hear our persistent prayers, but he is there ready to answer. If we ask for God's Holy Spirit in our life, if we ask God to deal with those issues in our life where perhaps we've put him one side and we've actually taken him out of the loop, he wants to deal with that so much, and he will. And if we come to him with boldness, our God won't hold back, because that's not in his DNA. He is a God who wants to open that door, to answer that need, to move forward with us. He wants us to be working to our full potential for him, so that when we come into situations where other people might want to find out about Jesus, we are the people who have all the tools there, all the weapons, as it were, to Satan. This is where you need to look in the Bible. This is really relevant to you. Yes, we need audacity and boldness as we come before God, but it's with that realization that he's not going to hold back. He loves us so, so much. He doesn't bring shame upon his name because he's a good, good God. So this morning, I'd like to encourage you to be selfish and pray for yourself and ask people to pray for you. Every week we give the opportunity that if the sermon has said something to you and you require prayer, take that opportunity. We've got that opportunity today. We're going to sing a song, and I want that time to be a song of reflection as we listen to the words of the song. But please take that opportunity after the service. If you'd like to come to the front, please do so. If you just want to, you know, after the service, speak to the person alongside you. Say, do you know what? Can you pray for me? I really want God to move in my life. This is the day that I want it to happen. I want God to move today. Turn and say it to the person next to you. Let's work together here, eh? If someone wants that prayer, pray with them. If you want to come to the front, we've got people who will come and pray with you. God is ready to move. God is there waiting on our prayer. I'll pass over as we sing our song.